This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday.
I've been watching, I watched a few of your podcasts and things like that. I saw that you had, what was that, one of the Savannah Banana guys?
Yeah, Connor Harris. Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Real quick, because I saw that and it just, you find this maybe interesting or not, but I don't know if you ever heard of the game called RuneScape back in the day.
So I played that. I played that too.
Since my whole childhood, I know a lot of friends that play it, and I had a friend who created a meme page for like RuneScape, and he's hilarious. He got like 50,000 followers, he gets paid doing certain stuff. Long story short, Savannah Bananas are huge RuneScape players. I had no idea. And they follow him. Multiple guys follow his account. They went to Boston, they saw it at Fenway, and he just was messaged them on his account. He's like, hey, I'd love to come. They gave him front row tickets and they put him right up front. And then like people, it was the first time he was like, dude, people thought I was like famous because like they're coming up to me, talking to me. And I'm like, I just run a RuneScape page. It was just so funny. So I saw that. I thought if you knew RuneScape and you knew the Savannah Bananas, it'd be kind of a fun little.
That's a weird but awesome connection between the two. Yeah. I think that's so neat. Hey there and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh coming to you from the MHA studios and we got a great episode for you guys today. Happy almost Valentine's Day, by the way. I know that's going to be coming up in a few days and in a way, this is going to be our Valentine's episode. You think car washes and you don't necessarily think Valentine's Day, but we have a lot to get into when it comes to legacy, family, community partnerships, and where in that does not say love. So I think this is going to be a really great episode in regards to that. So with us today, we have Evan Bayright, Director of Operations with Foam and Wash Car Wash. We actually connected at the radio station at Town Square for the MHA partnership for the veterans program.
Yeah.
I invited him to this studio and here we are. Evan, how are you?
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Connor. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah.
I forget if I mentioned it there. I worked at Town Square for 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was weird being back there to be like.
You mentioned it, and then you followed me on Facebook, and then you posted something of that day. And so you're like, oh, I haven't been back in like a year or so or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So you worked there with all those guys, you know, Matt and Boris.
Yeah.
And
all those guys. All of them, worked with all of them. Yeah. And it was a little bit of a homecoming in a way, which is neat. But it was just kind of crazy. It's like, wow, nothing has changed here in a year.
Yeah. I like their studio. I've been to a lot of radio stations, though I don't go. That was my first time there. I go to iHeartRadio a lot more. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you know Chris Marino and those guys.
Oh, yeah. Felicia. Absolutely. Do a lot of work.
You know Uncle Mike?
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Nice.
Anyone in this whole area. He's my favorite.
He's a lot of fun. I thought you were about to say Uncle Mike was your actual Uncle Mike.
Oh, my God, I wish.
Wouldn't that be cool?
He's a cool dude. I like Uncle Mike. He is awesome. I met him a long time ago, and I'll just pop my head in there, and he's just like, get in here. Let's get on. And like, he's just a humble, nice dude. I care a lot about him. But they're all great people, but he just resonates. You know, him and Chris were great because they kind of brought me in, and they were always like, hey, you know, get on the radio, do more of this. And then they were always they're always great at leading in to the conversation, which I assume you're probably pretty good at too. Like I always said, thanks guys, because I'm good at I'm good when I answer questions, but I'm not like the, you know, I'm not the question guy. You know,
don't worry, I'll lead you through it. We'll be good.
Yeah.
No, but Chris, great guy. I actually don't know Uncle Mike personally. I've only heard good things, and I know his legacy in the Hudson Valley. I've listened to him, but no, don't know him personally.
Whatever.
I don't have a good voice for this kind of stuff.
Oh, thanks, appreciate it.
Seriously.
Well, I've been doing radio for a while now, and I like to go back to Uncle Mike and Chris, but really Uncle Mike. I don't really know exactly who. I like to say I looked up to my uncle a lot, but at the same time, somebody along the lines, and I like to think it was kind of like the iHeart Radio group of guys, just because I did a lot with them with St. Jude's. So what happened was I was never getting invited on radio anywhere, and then we do St. Jude's, and then my dad does not like radio, does not like talking, does not like being honest, but my uncle does. But my uncle really stopped showing up a long time ago for these things because he's been, you know, he was always our book, you know, he was our Callan, did stuff up in Red Hook where we had our main office for a while. So and then he wanted to retire, but as time came, it was like, yeah, we don't have a voice. Like no one's talking. So it was like, as I grew up, I did a lot with him in the beginning, and then as he slowly stopped coming, it was like, okay, they pointed at me, they're like, you got to do this. And at some, you know, as a kid in the beginning, I was like, oh, I was kind of nervous, you know, blah 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 blah. Sometimes I didn't do it, sometimes I did do it, sometimes I was like not interested. And you know how I was as a kid too, I was doing this from like 15. I was doing this before I even worked at the car
wash. Wow,
you know,
really?
But this was just for the St. Jude's-a-thon, you know. It used to be in the Galleria, I don't know if you remember that.
Yep.
And that was so much fun. I would go there, I felt like kind of like for the first time ever, like kind of really cool. I was like, wow, I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio in the middle of the mall and people are staring at me and I'm talking about this. I'm like, well, that's really cool. It's fun to do. But then I realized like after the first time, really, I was like, wow, this is so important to do because it's for St. Jude's and things like that. So I started with that. So once a year I did St. Jude's radio and then I slowly started to get the iHeartRadio. Uncle Mike started bringing me in. They started coming to Ramar a little bit more. Matt Donahue, the salesman from WPDH, he always hammers my – he literally always includes my uncle. My uncle loves being included in the radio stuff, but he always makes – all right, Evan, you do this, you do that. So, yeah, they pushed me to do it. We do sponsorship with iHeartRadio. iHeart's my biggest, and Uncle Mike's pushed me to do this. So that's where the voice comes from, just being able to do it all the time. And
sweet.
This is a really great time for Foam and Wash because, as I learned when we were at the radio station, you guys are celebrating 60 years. That's incredible. There's not a lot of, like, small family-owned businesses that can say that they have lasted that long in any community. So to have 60 years here and have that sense of legacy, that must be really, really cool and mean a lot for you and your family.
Yeah, exactly, Connor. We're super excited. In 1966, my grandfather purchased a Purple Parlor car wash that was operating in Valesgate, New York.
Okay.
And pretty much ever since then, the history has just kind of evolved. We've conglomerated from 1 to 13 in the 60 years. We just opened one of our newest ones in Poughkeepsie about 3 years ago now. And people love that one, which is great. My grandfather is still alive, so he's watching his legacy continuously grow to the third generation with me and my brothers and kind of working with my father and uncles. And it's just been a great ride so far these last 6 years since I've been full-time involved.
Another thing I just want to point out there, which we were talking about before we got on the mic, when it comes to Foam and Wash, we know it for the red, white, and blue, like your hat.
Yes.
But when it comes to the hoodie there, it's kind of personal in a way. You were an Arlington grad. Your grandfather was an Arlington grad. And we're looking at Arlington colors here.
Arlington colors. So we were talking about before this. Yeah, so my grandfather was an Arlington graduate. I assume, you know, we're very simple people. When it comes to being creative, you got to be simple, but think big. He picked Arlington colors. So this was our original colors that was rolled out in 1966. If you do find all the pictures, though, it came a little bit after because in the beginning of time, we had a lot of guys wearing ties at the car wash and like nice little shirts.
Very official.
Yeah, very formal. it was the 60s, right? Yeah. 70s was really cool, too. They had like cool out. I loved looking at those old pictures of how they what they were wearing. I have some great ones. And we're also trying to find more pictures out there as obviously you don't get as many from the 60s and 70s. But when we first rolled out our first colors, our first way of things, it was gold and maroon, which is really cool.
That's neat. That's an awesome way of tying it all together, that hometown experience. And you guys are very hometown and community centric with the way that you go about things. Like, again, the whole reason that we met was the whole Blue Towel fundraiser that you guys were doing. You started off with Unshattered in 2024, MHA, obviously MHA Studio, you know, that was for 2025.
Yeah, right. Perfect.
And then, you know, for this coming year, it's Angels of Light. You guys are so focused on the community, and we have more initiatives that we want to get into. But, you know, being a small family-owned business, you know, people might see it as like, oh, my God, you have like 13 locations. Yeah. These guys are a big chain. You guys, it just really does come down to family at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, it comes down to family. We talk a lot about what we're going to be doing every year. And when we started this Blue Charity Towel program, it made the most sense. We had green towels. We were refreshing the towels for our customers. The same exact procedure as we do now, but they were green. We were handing a lot away, losing a lot of money on it. And we realized that why lose money on something that we could probably give back to the community with? And it was a really simple initiative. We raised the towel from 3 to 4. And then we basically said all net proceeds are going to go straight to the charity of choice.
Yeah.
And starting with Unshattered was a great one. We moved into the veterans program, and now we're working with children. Now we're always trying to think of different ideas, not try to be the same. And this is a great one because we're not asking for donations. Half the customers actually, unfortunately, don't know that they're even donating to charity. We try to make them aware of it because they're just coming to look for a towel, right? Mm-hmm. When you wash your vehicle, you're like, how do I dry it off?
Yep.
So when they're buying a towel, we do hand them a flyer. We do let them know that you are donating to the charity.
Yes, by the way, Connor in post, future Connor, zoom in on this, that, or take a picture later. But that's for this year's current one for Angels of Light. And make sure that you check them out if you're not familiar with them. They are a great organization, just like MHA, just like Unshattered. And you know what? Check out each one of the previous ones as well. Mm-hmm. We're here to support everybody. And no, that's great. The towel program is such a cool way of doing things. Very similar to what you said before. Very simple thinking, but effective.
Yeah.
It's like you don't have to reinvent the wheel to be able to make a huge impact.
And the reason why we blast this everywhere, post on social media, do as much as we want, is one, because we want to make everyone aware of Angels of Light, right? We have 90 to 100 employees, and a lot of them didn't know what Angels of Light was. So we were actually able to get 90 to 100 people in our community to understand what Angels of Light is, and now is going to be out there talking about this to our customers, which is going to be thousands of people that are now going to be aware of the program. And the reason also is we want other small businesses to realize, hey, it's really not that hard to give back to the community, really. It's really about, like you said, just think as simple, but think also really big with that simple idea. Yeah. It's a towel. We had towels. How do we make this a simple way to just give back to the community? And it's been great. I mean, when I went to see you and we handed that check and we did the Unshattered one, it's very touching. You know, we hear about what that money goes towards, and it resonates so well with us. And we get really excited as a family-owned business. It's really as simple as that. We're a family that wants to constantly be giving back to the community because, again, we're washing vehicles, we're taking care of it. We're all about smiles and cleanliness and happiness, and that's really what we're all about.
No, it's terrific what you guys are doing with these programs here and the way you are giving back. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are stuck on the conception process, like it's got to be the perfect idea. It's got to be the perfect way of going about things and be like, start small, start simple. And you never know where it's going to go from there. Something as simple as towels, you're donating tens of thousands of dollars to Unshattered and to MHA. And I'm sure it's going to be the same for Angels of Light come the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Towels, but well over $10,000. Incredible. So those aren't the only places that you guys help out with. We were talking about this off the mic, something that you're starting February 1st. By the time this airs, it's already started, but hopefully by the time this airs, you guys have some good traction with it. You guys are working with St. Jude's.
Yeah, so St. Jude's is one of the most recognized regional charities, I think, nationwide, easily, where everyone that sees it understands it. That's why we do it, because they're well known. They understand the money is going to a great cause. They know where it's going. It's not like it's just a mystery, right? So with that, I think we're right around 25 plus years of doing this. This is not new. This is something that a lot of our customers do know, just like our Veterans Watch program that we do have. Every year we do the same thing for our customers. And this comes around, we might have changed the months that we raise the money, but every year we consistently do it. We always look for a time where it makes the most sense, where we get some customers coming in. So February, we're really busy. We got a lot of customers coming in, and that's where we say, you know what? That's our time to raise some money. So we work with iHeartRadio on this, and basically what we do is at the end of the charity raising, we go there and we announce it during their St. Jude Radiothon, which is really big. We come in there. They like to get us in there like kind of semi in the middle, because we just come in with this large – I mean, we have that fake big check.
You love the big checks.
Yeah, we love those ones. They're pretty fun. They're great because you can see it on pictures, see it on camera.
Yep.
And it's just a good way to show it off. So we've constantly been doing this every year. I started when I was a real young kid. One of my earliest memories of working in the car wash, you know, 5, 6 years old, just being with my family, understanding that what we're doing is bigger than us and it's going towards a great cause, something that my uncle took a lot of pride in and something that I'm taking a lot of pride in. So now what we do is this is not a towel program. This is not related to the towel program. Mm-hmm. We basically have that always running. You're buying a towel. You're always donating no matter what's going on throughout the year. We have that program. This is basically we rely on our customers for this one. This is a donation. We basically ask for the donations throughout the month. We like to reach our goal between February and the end of February, but we do go a little bit longer because reaching that goal is so important to us.
Yeah.
We were actually able to reach well above our goal in our convenience store, our Shell Mart across from the Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
They raised $10,000 in a 2-month span between November and early January.
That's sick.
By the pumps, by asking the right questions, and just having great customers that understand the cause. You know, it's cute. We still do the fun little stuff where you write your name on the children's poster. We stick it up on the wall when you donate.
Yeah.
We try to resonate with old school stuff as things always change throughout the years, and all the fun little cute stuff disappear as something we remember as our childhood or remember just being hands-on. We continually do that. So if you donate to us, you get to write it on there. We don't do it at the car wash just because it's hard. You know, there's nowhere to put
it.
In the convenience store, you come on in, you donate, you get to put it on the wall at the store. So when you come back in every time, you get to go, you know, that was me.
Yep.
It's pretty exciting. So we're doing that in February. We're really excited to do it again every year. We're looking to reach our goal compared to last year because we've been kind of getting right around the same every year consistently, which is still a great number. We're usually right around 35,000 every year.
Yeah.
We're looking to beat that this year. So with our customers' help and our employees making sure they're out there, let's do this.
You know, all right, Walsh Wednesday listeners,
for the children.
You hear this, right? You hear this. You got to make sure that you pitch in, help out with the St. Jude's fundraiser. It's a great way to get things happening. And besides, it's like you're going to need to get your car washed in February anyway. This is important. Make sure that you get over there. I think it's great. And what you were saying with the poster, pictures. Yeah, not the greatest to have it in the car wash. You just see all these saggy, like ink
physically
running.
In the car wash, you're a little crazy. Yeah, exactly. We do have some walls in our office, and we do some fun stuff on there, but you can't see it as a customer.
Yeah,
so.
No. So. But that's great to have it in the Shell Mart there. And you're right. Stuff like that, it's recognizable. It's just like the legacy that you have there, the fact that Foam and Wash has been around for 60 years. It's tried and true. If it ain't broke, why fix it?
Exactly.
And it's a great system that you're going about things. So 60 years here. You grew up with this. This has been in your family. This has been in your blood. I'm sure you have tons of soap going through your veins right now. With that being said, do you feel like looking back on your life, was this always the trajectory for you? Was this the life that you wanted for yourself? Or did you want to branch out and then you came back? Mm-hmm. Like, because there are some people who love the family legacy and want to go into it and support it. And then there are other people who's like, hey, you know, I want to do my own thing. Where were you with all of this as third generation?
There's a lot to unpack there, and there's a lot of good things there. I like to start with my grandfather, who, he's still here, still around, still loving watching what we're doing here. I learned a lot from him. I learned compassion, caring, putting the customers forward, just good customer service, caring about family as well, something that he strives so hard in. He didn't grow up in the car wash world. He grew up with no college degree, raising a family, working at IBM with, you know, hitting the ceiling because there's no way to go above and beyond with no college degree, especially at IBM. And he thought there had to be something out there, basically what a lot of people are looking at for the family, for the future. In 1966, right around the year when my dad was born, he went out there and purchased his first car wash. He thought,
that's risky. Let's
do this. Let's create a legacy. I'm going to start right here in Balesgate, New York. And watching him and talking to him and understanding what he's done for just the family in general, but also the family that is Orange and Dutchess County. He started, you know, doing all these type of donations, giving back to the community. And I saw that as something, you know, very caring, you know, being a good person, having good morals, and just caring about the community. It goes a long way. And I noticed that early on. And my father and my uncle is doing the exact same thing that my grandfather did. And I was like, that's awesome. They care about people, but they also have a community and they can make some money with the car wash. And car washing is fun and enjoyable. So let's start there. And I noticed that it was something that I was kind of not super passionate about as a young kid. Mm-hmm. Something that I was always growing up with. Of course, my dad did so much stuff, brought us to car wash, did all this stuff. I think I used to go to the car wash many, many times from zero till the first day I started. I was many days he would just show up at a car wash with me in the car as a kid, and I'd watch him do certain stuff. And I was very interested in that. But just like anything, you don't really know what you're going to do. I was very business-centric. I understood that I wanted to be somewhat of an entrepreneur, somewhat of a business idea. I like the role of operations. I like managing people, but also being creative at the same time.
Yeah.
So I went to school for that. I went to school for business management. I'm a Dutchess graduate, Dutchess Community College. Yeah. And then I went on to go to Boca Raton, Florida, and went to Lynn University, where I got my entrepreneurship bachelor degree.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Just like anybody, I'd like to say that COVID did alter a lot of things, right? So graduating,
you were 2020
as well,
right?
Yeah. So I graduated. I had some fun. I transferred a little bit, so losing some credits, maybe do 5-year undergrad, which was exciting and fun at the same time. So I was ready to get over with it because I was okay. Let's get my degree. Let's do this. And COVID hit.
Yeah.
And just like anybody else, it's like okay, you're losing your scholarships. Everything's disappearing, especially if you're going away to school, not from your hometown. Everything kind of feels like oh, I got to go home. I was with my girlfriend and wife now and at the time, and she wanted to go home with her family and be there as well. And I was like, okay, that sounds right. Let's do this, right? Let's get back up. Let's do it. As I transitioned back home from college, getting my degree, I was struggling trying to figure out, is this the sign that I was looking for? I said this somewhere, and people love this. It's a funny thing to say, that I was always looking for a sign. I said, you know, I'm graduating college. I'm looking for a sign. Can someone just tell – can something hit me in the head and say, this is what you got to do? And then COVID happened.
What a sign.
What a sign.
It's you. You caused – no.
It's funny. It's been a big – it was one thing I – as I say it, it's like, oh, yeah. Well, did I?
I have a similar moment, actually. But, I'll share with you real quick.
Yeah,
what happened was, you know, I was there at the College of St. Rose. We were getting ready to do a play. It was called The Mystery of Edwin Drood. It was written by Charles Dickens. It was his last work, and it was unfinished. So the way that people go about doing the show is that there are multiple endings, and the audience gets to choose. So it's the show without an ending, and that's important. So we're getting ready to do this show. I think we're about like a week or two out, and I say to my cast, and it's like, guys, we're doing such a great job, but for some reason in my head, I can't picture us putting this on. And they're like, what does that mean? And it was like, I don't know. I just don't see us actually doing this. And of course, the week that we were supposed to go live was the week that everything was shut down with the pandemic. And everybody looked at me and was like, Connor, you jinxed this. Yeah. You jinxed this. And it was like, I didn't realize world was going to shut down. So it's funny that we kind of had similar inklings.
And I bet you there's so many people out there that are looking for the same thing or thinking of the same thing. Because, right, you ask for a sign and you think, oh, I'm not, you know, is it going to be on a billboard as I drive down the highway and say, you're going to do this, you know? So I took it as a sign, right?
Yeah.
I said, let's do this. I think it's a sign that it means to be home with family, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I always had it in the back of my head. It wasn't like I wasn't interested in the car wash, but I wanted to, you know, be out there, travel, maybe work in the city, maybe go out to a different state, take some big risks, do different things. But as COVID happened, it was like the biggest risk would be not be with my family. And I thought, why not be with them? They're caring. They're good people. They like to put things forward. And it's a great, like I said, I like working in the county. I like working with cars. They're fun. Car washing is a great business to be in. It's evolved so much since the 60s. Technology has gotten a lot better, a lot safer. You know, we have cars going through our tunnel in a very controlled environment that's very safe for the vehicles compared to, you know, the 60s and the 70s where it was just kind of like, a simple chain and a button. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now we have retracts, things like that. Some of our car washes, we can 100% retract things. And then everything else has evolved since then as well. So that's kind of like how I got into it. And ever since COVID, I've been full-time. The first 2 years I did every job possible. I went from, at that time we did have an oil change, which we no longer do, but I was involved in oil change. I went to the car wash. I went to the mart. I sold this. I did that. I tried to dip my feet into every single role I could possibly do to get an idea of that. And then as I wanted to say, hey, I got a degree. I have an idea of what I want to do. I started making my way into the operational role to help the company even more, get my dad and uncle to be even less involved and to help and take over that type of thing.
No, that's huge. Yep. The way that you're coming into it. And I just want to poke on something that you said there. The biggest risk was not being with your family.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God, that's so huge. And especially at that time period, it was kind of like a reset, you know, when everything happened and it kind of grounded people in a lot of way. So what you said there, the bigger risk was not to be with your family. Huge, huge right there. And it seems like it's been quite a great investment for you with the way that you've been able to build yourself, develop the company further. It seems like things are going well for you in that regards. Are you proud of yourself for what you've been able to do during this last 5 years?
Yeah, I'm super proud. I love what I do and I'm proud of it. You know, I'm married now, so that was a big accomplishment.
Congrats.
As well. Doing that in the same time as constantly working my ass off. Keeping relationships are so important, and also family relationships are so important. I grew up family oriented. We have a very small niche family, just not a lot of us. And we like that for many reasons, because it's easy to communicate with, easy to work with. And we enjoy that. You know, as I step into my next few years, there might be more people in the family as I get older, as I have kids, and as my family has, my brothers have kids, and we're excited for that the next big steps as well, you know, as a family company.
That's big.
Yeah, and like just being around them is so important. I grew up with them. I like working with them. And I know it's super important. Anyone out there that has a family-run business, it's super important to separate work from family.
Yeah.
We do family trips together. We have family dinners together. We don't talk about work. Sometimes
keep that separate.
Sometimes
that's not at
do.
The dinner table.
Yeah,
huh?
Sometimes we do. You know, as everyone's moved out now, you know, when we do get together for family dinners, it's not like it's an everyday thing anymore. So it's easier to separate that. We talk about what we've been doing outside of work, things like that. But then there's a time and place to work, right? During normal, regular operating hours, we're strictly work, strictly focused on getting things done. And after work, we're able to separate that. It's hard. It's not easy. My biggest suggestion to most people, I always run into family businesses or family, younger kids, closer to my age, older, younger. Just let them know, hey, when you're at work, don't ask about, unless you got to, but keep it work related. Do all that stuff. It's difficult. And then when you're at home, separate that. Ask about different things. Ask them how they are or, you know, personal questions, not just work-related things.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you had some great role models with that. The fact that, you know, it started with your grandfather and then it was your dad and your uncles and then now it's down to you guys. They kind of went through all the growing pains. Not all the growing pains. There's still growing pains to always be done. But they went through a lot of that to see what worked and what didn't. And now you're following their example and now you're trying to lead into the next generation here.
Just like anything, they are super happy to be in their own generation because the struggles that our generation has to deal with is quite difficult in its own ways, right? We deal with a lot of different things I won't really touch on. But You know, with technology, though, technology does help, but technology also is a curse, right?
Yeah.
We are more virtual, you know, we're more this, more direct, but then we have problems when we rely on so much. While back in the day, it was pretty simple.
Yeah.
You're taking cash, you're hitting a button, you're doing this. Right now, we got so many different things running. We got so many things in the cloud, so many things that my uncle and my dad don't understand. Older generations don't fully grasp a lot of it as something that we evolved to.
Yeah, we grew up in it.
Exactly. So, and then just like anything, IT issues or cloud issues are just hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And so we try to do our best with just being good customer service. You know, if you give us a call anytime, we try to take care of you. We do our best to do basically go over the top for all of our customers. But like you said before, being 60 years, there are a lot of things that we have done trial and error on, which is very nice that we have people to talk to about that to kind of know, hey, didn't really work to going that way. Let's continue to go this way. And like you said, that if it's not broken, don't need to fix it. You know, we rock and roll. Like I said, I like to touch on things that my grandfather does, my dad does, because it's been 60 years. It's clearly successful for a reason. And it's something we're all so proud of and something I'm proud of to continue as well for hoping another 60 plus years.
That would be incredible. Yeah, yeah. And honestly, yeah. Here's hoping to it. Knock on wood. I feel very secure for you guys on that. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today. Make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. It's the end of the year, and you may need to free up space for guests for the holidays, store seasonal decorations, secure valuables, and maybe even hide the presents. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings before, during, and after the festive season. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
as you said before, how you moved into the position as director of operations, a new position you also mentioned was the position of a husband. You know, yeah. in the last 5 years, we have one degree of separation. Your wife, Shauna, we were the same class at FDR together.
Yeah, shout out FDR.
Yep, shout out FDR. Shout out to Shauna. with that being said, and, you know, I don't want to poke too far behind the curtains and get too personal for you, but you also brought up the fact that there are issues that our generations face compared to other generations. And one thing that our generation, you know, we're right on that line there of millennial and Gen Z. Mm-hmm. We're right there. And it's a very tough time for us to get started. A lot of people are choosing business or family. There's a lot of people who are making that divide because it's tough to do one or the other. You're not seeing the people who are trying to do both. Or when you do see those people, they're really struggling. I know I have a hard time with that, trying to work on my business while also trying to make sure that I'm the best boyfriend I can be and lead forward. So here you are making this huge step of taking this position of director of operations, making the move back here while you guys were in Florida. What are the skills that you guys utilize every single day to keep your relationship building while you guys build your own brands and businesses?
Yeah. I like to say the biggest thing is communication, even though I like to say I can probably communicate better in my work life than I do my relationship wise. Obviously, it's something I've always kind of wanted to make sure I improve on because it's so important. But communication is the biggest thing to me. Just talking and being straightforward, being honest.
Yeah.
Honesty is key. You lie, right? The biggest thing I've always led by is I don't lie about anything. Honesty is so important when it comes down to every aspect of your life. Just be honest, right? Because then if you lie too many times, you get caught in a lie and just never looks good. Having that, and then, you know, just being with Shauna, we're actually in 2026 in May, we're actually gonna be going on 11 years of being together.
Wow.
So it's been a long time as someone who's 28 years old, that's almost coming up on halfway through my life. A quarter, you know, it's a lot. So when we first started dating, it was, you know, I wasn't involved in a business, right? I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was 17, 18 years old, trying to figure out where I was going to go to college or what I was going to do later that night. You know, I did all that with her. So we rode together. Like we've been together. You know, she did her degree. I did my degree. COVID, you know, as we're going through colleges together, she was your grad. So we actually graduated the same time together. Mm-hmm. We finished up our degrees together. So with COVID, we got sent home together. So we're literally always together at that point. She went on to do occupational therapy where she was working in Lutheran care, and now she's kind of all over the place working with children and also adults. It's her passion. She likes doing that. And as well as myself working in a family-owned business, you know, something that's kind of been established, but also, like you said, very difficult to still make my way in. There's a lot of things you got to do to come into a business like that. You got to remember we have a lot of guys who've been with us for 25 years. Amazing. I love them to death. They're my family just as much as anything else. You know, but as a young kid who's only 20, you know, at the time, I'm almost as old as they were in our company, right? So it's like I had to do a lot of showing up, proving that I'm here, you know, showing them I have the right aspect of the company, have the right mindset for the company, and I want to push that forward. But then, like you said, then you're putting a lot of focus on the company. Then you also have your wife, your girlfriend on the side, and it's just kind of really, like I said, kind of going back to what I said about family and separating the two.
Yeah,
it's very hard. I'm not perfect at it. I struggle every day with it, but I know the goal is to come home and separate the business life, but also know that when you are at work, you know, if you're the type of person to always be talking, I think that's something as we get a little bit older is something as you got to slow it down a lot. You got to trust them, especially when you're at work. The biggest thing is to just isolate yourself and let them know, hey, when I'm coming home, that's where we can deal with all of our stuff. Yeah. But when you're at work, you're working. It's something that I learned from my father. I learned from a lot of business mentorships. That's super important to stay grounded, stay focused while you're at work because any distraction can really throw you off. So for that being said, we really don't talk a lot during the day. You know, of course, emergencies, things like that, we know a chat. But we say, you know, when we get home together, when we lock our, you know, get home, throw our shoes off and we're in the house together, that's the time when we can start chatting, talking about our day, talking about our things that we're doing and projects and things like that. And I'd say that's the biggest thing for me. And also just being together for a long time and really getting to know each other, and understanding each other and knowing what we're good at and what we're bad at. But it always comes back to communication. Every single day, I'm trying to be a better communicator with her and also at work and just being honest.
No, that's the way of going about it, 100%. Yeah. And it's also interesting because when you do have your family relationships or even just friends too, they don't always get to see you in a work mode. They don't see all the skills that you have to offer. But here you are in this, I'll say, very unique scenario where you have the two separate lives of, you know, being able to see what everybody can do at work, but then also see what everybody can do at home too. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful dichotomy when you can work together, and that's a blessing.
And I like to touch on one thing, because it is please interesting. Do. I always mention that this is very difficult, but we have so much fun doing it. One of my best friends, Sam, is actually one of our system managers at one of our
sweet.
Car washes.
Okay.
Just like anything, COVID did a lot of stuff to a lot of people, and we had so much fun together growing up, and I met him during high school. We did all this stuff, and now he's one of our greatest assistant managers, one of our better assistant managers that we've ever had at our Wappingers facility. So he gets to see me in work mode, but also non-work mode. And that's also been one of those things where we've stayed friends for all these years. He's been with us for over almost 5 years now. And we hang out after work sometimes, you know, and yep. or during work, and he sees me in different modes. I see him in different modes, and we're just able to just go back and forth on this stuff. And we actually had another buddy work for us as well, who stepped out to do a different career. This sometimes isn't a career path for people, which is understandable. Yeah. He stepped away to do a career path that he was really interested in, but he got to see me also in work mode and outside work mode, which is really cool. So I'm able to do, you know, work with my wife. Outside of that, work my friends, work my family, both inside and outside of work. And again, it just goes back to that communication, being honest, being forward about everything. You know, if someone you know is not working out well or having a struggle, it's about communicating to them right away.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I do a lot of. Coaching and counseling is so important in an operational management role.
Big time.
And I love it because I love helping others understand the goal of things and working together as a team. I mean, we have guys that have been with us for 25 years, 10 years, 15 years. Our shortest manager right now is 7 years.
That's pretty good.
And we're so proud of that because we try to make it a fun place to work. You know, we're not McDonald's. We're not Dunkin' Donuts. We don't have franchise money. We don't have corporation money. We're a small family-owned business that strives themselves on if you join our team, you're going to join our family. You're going to join having a great work experience. We love working together as a team. There's never a time where we're yelling at an employee or a customer or anything like that. We're always just sitting down, having conversations, enjoying ourselves, and just being that forward. And, you know, we celebrate 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And then we have big parties all the time, fun things to get together. So we recognize that success because recognize that just like anything, you can work anywhere. So we want you to feel like you're part of our family, part of the Car Wash family, and just working towards the same goals, which is awesome.
Yeah, retention is so huge these days because that's another thing that you don't see in this recent generation of jobs.
Yeah.
Job retention is barely a thing because there are a lot of organizations that don't prioritize that. Mm-hmm. They see people as numbers. They see – and it's just an asset rather than a person. So here you are coming in with this business. You guys care about the person. Honestly, being here at MHA is weird for me because at 5 o'clock, they shut down the offices. It's time to go home. I'm the guy that's used to like just staying around the clock or, you know, I've had jobs where they would tell you, it's like, Connor, you need to stay and do all this. No, 5 o'clock hits. It's like, go home, be with your family, do whatever you're doing. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
This is a trap, right? But it's cool that you guys have that ability. Bringing it full circle, how you're saying your grandfather was an IBMer. Mm-hmm. You know, IBM is very big in my family too. My grandfather was an IBMer, my mom, my uncle. It was a big part of it, and I got to see how the culture changed. When our grandfathers were there, as you said, he hit a ceiling, but I think there's a difference in the way IBM was back then versus how it became. Mm-hmm. In our grandfather's generation, at least based on what I knew, the owner was there. He saw everybody. He knew everybody. There was a greater appreciation of the people who worked there and the families. And I think that's a beautiful trait that your grandfather was able to kind of bring over, use it. And I'm sure he had that drive, ability, and skill within him already. Mm. But he was just able to kind of amplify. It was like, hey, this was working here. Let me keep doing it here. And 60 years later, that's one hell of a legacy.
Yeah.
I just seeing all the connections come together, I think, is really beautiful in that way. Yeah. So here's to another 60 years for you guys.
Yeah, and I touched on the beginning, but obviously what I'm wearing today and what we have right here.
Yes, let's talk about the merch.
Yeah,
yes.
And I mentioned it before, but so what I'm wearing right now is it's a sneak peek of what we're going to be kind of rolling out. We got 60 items of everything besides the socks just for fun. So we got 60 sweatshirts, 60 hats, 60 shirts for our 60th anniversary. So at some point this year, we're going to roll this out. We're going to take some cool pictures, put them on social media, get them on our website. So, and it'll be something we roll out. Basically, foam and wash, car wash, and we've got the staff. establishment of 1966, and some fun artwork on the back. But the hats are really cool as well. There's snapback baits, but we also have some socks as well, which is really fun. So we never rolled out any merchandise before, actually, in our 60 years ever.
Really?
As far as I'm aware, we definitely did not. We've always had merchandise for our staff. We've gotten so much uniforms, so many different types of I got orange shirts. I got this. We got crazy variety of the things. But something we've never done was drop merchandise. And this is just fun. I mean, for us, it's 60 items. There's nothing crazy. We just plan to do this for you guys. We wanted to do this for the community. Someone out there has always asked me, can I get a sweatshirt? Can I get a hat? Can I get, this or that?
It's crazy how people are really interested in that stuff.
It fits great. It's comfortable. It's a good sweatshirt, great hat, good material. And it's just fun. Like I said, we're just going to get it out there for customers that want to just represent us, understand what we're about, and just have some fun and help us out. But like I said, it's just a good way to get to the community a little bit more, show us that we have some fun merch, some fun swag for them. It'll be somewhere in this year. By the time this rolls out, I don't think we'll have it dropped yet, but we'll probably be doing it sometime in the springtime as we get our stuff ready. But we're going to also have a big, big event in June as well for our 60th anniversary. So look out for that. We're probably going to do it at our Wappingers location because it's one of our larger sites where we can put a lot more down. We're going to try to get my grandfather, my grandma, my uncles, everyone all together, all in one spot for the first time in a long time at a car wash. Last time we all got together was my grandfather's 80th birthday. Now there's a lot more grandkids since then too for them. not for me yet, but from a lot of my cousins. So our family has grown so much since that day. So we want to get everyone together to represent what we're all about. And get back to the community. We might have some – everything's going to be fun that day. So,
oh, my gosh. That's going
to
be fun.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll keep you in touch with that. We'll be promoting that whenever we can for you as well. You keep letting us know information on that, and that'll be phenomenal. Evan, before we completely wrap this up, is there any last little nugget that you want to share? Anything that we might have accidentally skipped over? Anything you want to add? Or just simply a message that you want to share to the community? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a lot of things, and I do appreciate you having me in here. This was a lot of fun. When we first met, it was ironic. I went home. I talked to Shauna about Connor. I was like, Connor, the guy was playing the guitars on the table, like you said.
Yep.
She loved you. She loved talking about you. She had some fun memories of you there. FDR was such a small school, so you guys were such a tight niche, kind of similar to our community. Arlington was a little opposite.
Yeah, Arlington's
big. Large. But, everything is, like I said, came full circle, getting in here, having some fun. You know, we're a car wash, but we're more than that. We love to give back to the community. It's in our DNA. It's something that my grandfather started a long, long time ago, something that I'm going to continue to do. Our family's going to continue to do. And we just love bringing people in with the smiles. I do it all day. Something we have right here is our air freshener, something that we just recently started doing a lot more of during the holidays. We're handing them out to every customer, something that we will always have for our customers. We might not hand them out to everybody, but you can always ask for it. And this is something fun that we like to do. I handed out a lot of these to our customers. We got so many smiles. I love seeing you guys in the car wash. I love seeing you guys around. And I love seeing you guys help us with all these initiatives that we're doing for the community, because we can't do without our customers. We definitely can't do it without our employees. And I'm looking forward to another 60 years growing this company in the area, and always just understanding that we couldn't do it without you, Dutchess County, and Orange County as well.
Yeah, phenomenal. And also, they smell great. It's been smelling really good throughout this entire
room,
interview.
I was going to say, the room did smell really good.
Yeah, it's taking up the whole room now, which is really, really good.
This one's a sandalwood. We do black ice. We don't always have different smells all over the place, but if you find your favorites, just ask us if we have it. They are labeled, and they are great. They are great.
No, that's good. No, it's going right up. Well, maybe not this one since I'm using it here. We got other ones over there that I'm going to be using in my car. But yes, Foam and Wash Car Wash. Caring about the community. This is really terrific. Great organization that's been here for 60 years, hopefully 60 more to come. We got a lot of stuff that's going to be coming down the pipeline for 2026. Make sure that you follow all the links in the description of this episode to follow their journey. They're going to have a lot of stuff coming out this year. Evan, thank you so much.
And I'd like to say, if you want to reach out to us, we have a Facebook and Instagram account. You can find us at foamandwash.com. Something we also just recently rolled out to on our website. If you go to foamandwash.com, we have a free wash on our website, something we've been working with our marketing team on with. So if you don't know about us and you just want to test us out, you can get on there. Basically, just go to our website. You really can't miss it. It's a free wash button, like that's bright and big, right in the homepage, right there. If you ever do miss it, just come, give us a call. We'd love to help you out. Love to show you, figure that out. It works at our 6 soft cloth locations. So basically, you show up to any of our 6 locations that have a tunnel conveyor. They're all on 9 and 2 across the river. And if you have any other questions, you can always give us a call. But if you want to try us out, try that free wash out and see what the talk's all about.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Connor.
Here's to 60 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm Connor.
I'm Evan.
And as always, we're glad we got to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.